Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Video cameras and police, sometimes they don't get along. We've heard about sometimes police officers arresting citizens who will videotape them on the street, or then there's the famous videotape beating of Rodney King by the LAPD. But now police departments are finding out that video cameras can be their greatest ally. And here in San Antonio, the police department is rolling out a pilot program with body cameras for their officers, but there are privacy concerns. And what is the public information in this case? And will this improve or hurt law enforcement? What do you think? Are you a law officer? We want to hear from you. Or what do you think as a citizen? Are you ready for Candid Camera PD? Call in at 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can also email us your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. Now, we did reach out to the San Antonio Police Department with repeated attempts, but they would not come on the air to discuss this, but they did give us this statement. We will evaluate the results and input from the officers' testing equipment. Both the SAPD Labor Relations Committee and the San Antonio Police Officers Association will make recommendations to the Chief of Police regarding this feasibility of deploying additional units for permanent use. The rollout started this month, and it's going to be a six-month trial, and we'll see how it goes after that period. Now, joining us to explain how cameras like this work and how they impact police work, we're joined by Chief Tony Farrar. He is the police chief of Rialto, California. Chief, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the time.
Now, you have studied these cameras and how they've worked and how they impact police enforcement. What do you think about video cameras and police?
Well, I mean, my opinion is going to be a little bit biased here, but we did a year-long randomized control trial experiment in conjunction with the University of Cambridge in the United Kingdom and Taser International. And after a year of evaluating those cameras, we have some very significant results that I'd like to perhaps kind of enlighten everybody that's listening today.
Yeah, let's hear them.
Okay, so after basically what we did is we took a 12-month time period as a baseline, and we used the data from that, and then the following year we did an actual experiment with the camera using the unit of analysis as a patrol team, for instance. And basically what we saw after that year is we had an 88% reduction in complaints on police officers and a 60% reduction in use of force instances. And the results there are truly significant.
Those are amazing results. So 88% reduction in complaints. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that lend itself to that. I mean, if you just kind of use the analogy of looking at, say, closed circuit TV and anybody that might be doing anything wrong in your community, when you know you're being watched, whether you're a citizen, somebody that's up to no good, or whether you're a police officer, the human kind of perspective on that is that you'll behave a little bit better. Maybe you'll follow the rules a little bit better. So when you equate this to body cameras, I believe that the officers that are wearing them tend to act a little more professional, tend to come across a little bit nicer, if you will, and follow the rules. And the same would apply to a citizen on the street. If they were aggressive and they knew an officer was wearing a camera, they would perhaps behave a little bit better as well. So I think it's on both sides.
And I also wonder, maybe this had an impact, if you may have a huge reduction in false complaints because people know that there is a camera rolling and that what their complaint is going to be tested against the actual videotape of what went down.
That's a great point. We have had a few instances where we've de-escalated situations that were getting a little bit tense in the field because the individuals knew we were wearing cameras. But in regards to frivolous complaints, we've had people come into the station and have a complaint to allege against an officer, and we sit them down and we show them the video, and they pretty much excuse themselves, say, sorry, I didn't really see it that way, and it's dealt with right away. So it's been very beneficial.
So how do these cameras work?
Well, the officers basically, patrol officers in our department, they wear them on their uniform. There's a couple of different mounting options. They can be on glasses, on a baseball cap, on their collar, and when they are
dispatched. So they're really small.
They're pretty small. They're the battery pack actually is about the, it's smaller than an iPhone, so it could slide into your top pocket or wherever you want to put it. And the actual camera piece itself is about the size of a very kind of a short cigar, if you will. It's pretty small, and it doesn't really weigh that much. And but it is visible to the person that you might be speaking to.
And it captures audio also.
It captures audio and video, and it's very good during the evening hours as well.
And it's always on, or can it be turned off and on?
Well, I mean, that's going to be a policy question on the department to kind of individualize, but the way that we have it here is that if an officer is dispatched to a call where they believe criminal activity is taking place and there are things of evidentiary value, which is pretty much any call, they would activate the device on the way. If they're going to make a self-initiated, say, stop, if they believe the person is involved in criminal activity, they can activate the device. There really isn't an expectation to activate it for the most part on just if you're walking down the street and you're just going to talk to somebody just on an everyday foot beat, or if you're going to go to a report call where there's been a theft but there's nobody there and it's just going to be a report documentation.
And I guess the video is captured on maybe a flash memory drive or something?
Yeah, it's stored in the camera itself, and then at the end of shift, you bring it into the station. Each officer has a docking station. We actually have a bank of docking stations in the briefing room, and they just remove the device and plug it back into the docking station, and it downloads overnight.
So that's a lot of data to be managing. So does that require a whole, like another person or something to take care of that?
We have a dedicated system. It's called evidence.com. It's a digital evidence management system that ties right in with the devices, the cameras that we use, so we're able to manage it very efficiently using that system. And certain videos, depending upon, again, what the organization wants to do, you can set the different retention times for those, so you're not just arbitrarily housing video that really has no significant value.
And is that video public record?
Is it a public record?
Yeah. Can I request it with a public information request?
It would depend. If it's part of an internal investigation or part of an actual criminal investigation, you would not be entitled to that. And I think but different states have different laws on how that would go. Now, if you were on the other side of the case and the case were against you, you were an arrestee at some point through the criminal process and subpoenas with your attorney, you would be able to get a copy of that. But the average person couldn't walk into the station and say, I want to see the video on case number X. If you're not part and parcel to the case, or it's an investigation again, or there's criminal evidence in there, you're not entitled to it.
All right, we're talking about police officers being mounted with video cameras. They've had dash cams for a long time. Now we're seeing having cameras on police officers having a dramatic reduction in the amount of complaints and the amount of use of violence. And they're doing that here in San Antonio starting this month, an experimental program. We've got more information about this. If you got a question, call in. The number is 614-8980. If you got to object to it, you don't think this is necessary, call in 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio Police Department began this month. They put 150 cameras on police officers to videotape everything that they're doing and audio taping what they're doing. The equipment is being used by mainly the downtown foot and bike patrol, also patrol units going across San Antonio. This is a pilot program going to run for about 6 months, and at the end of that time, the SAPD will evaluate and figure out how they want to move forward with this. If you've got a question or a comment about the San Antonio Police Department putting video cameras on their officers as they are on patrol, give us a call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. We're talking with Tony Farrar. He is a police chief for the Rialto Police Department. He has studied this and the impact it's had on his police department, saw an 88% reduction in the number of complaints once they went to this program. So, Chief Farrar, when you told your officers that you were going to do this, what was their reaction?
Well, I mean, it wasn't bad. Again, this isn't a program that you could probably just turn the lights off on, you know, Monday night and have it ready to roll on Tuesday morning. But we showed up at several briefings and kind of explained the benefits to both the community and to the officers on wearing these cameras. And we had very good buy-in. We actually did a survey before, during, and after the entire 12-month experiment, and what we found were really no real significant changes in the attitudes of the officers. They all had a very strong sense of community, high satisfaction with their job. Most importantly, they had a high satisfaction with the ability and the authority to do their job, and that they were being supported by the department. So, you know, overall, it wasn't too difficult. You know, you do have to get buy-in from the troops to implement something like this, but once everybody kind of really saw the benefits, it really wasn't that difficult.
Did the officers see this eventually as something that was going to help protect them, not only their safety, but also their reputations?
Well, they did. I mean, on the simplest level, the newer officers, those that are quite a bit more tech savvy, were a little bit easier to kind of train and get going and were a little more accepting. Those that might be a little more seasoned did have some questions, but once they kind of saw the outcomes that were coming out of the experiment, I think everybody was more apt to get on board. I mean, one example is we had an officer that was very, very new. He wasn't even off probation. He had an allegation of kind of unprofessionalism against him on a call, and we actually had a news crew in the station here filming on this camera issue. And so they hit him up in the hallway and asked him about it. Hey, what do you think about these cameras? You're kind of a new guy. And he showed them the disposition sheet that he had just received from our professional standards department, exonerating him from everything, and it was a result of everything being captured on video. So, you know, once that starts to spread and everybody really realizes the impact that it can have on both sides of the fence here, it's kind of a win-win for everybody.
Let's go to the phones, and our phone lines are open. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Mark has called in. Mark, welcome to The Source. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, thanks very much. A very interesting topic, and it's very exciting. My question is this. There have been a number of incidents where citizens have photographed police officers, videotaped police officers, their equipment confiscated, and then the videos mysteriously are deleted or go missing. And so I'm wondering if there's going to be some kind of audit protocol or some way to know if there's going to be if there are gaps in the video record or if somehow it's lost.
Okay, Mark, thanks for that question. So, Tony, how is that going to work?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm glad you brought it up, and I appreciate that. The system that we have in place, the evidence.com, the digital evidence management system that we have, has a watermarking and tracking system and encryption system in it, so we know anytime anyone accesses, downloads, or even just looks at the videos, we know who it is, when they're doing it, so there is a very big tracking mechanism in place. Along with that, we also do random sampling to where we can go into the system and make sure that all of the officers are downloading. And that they're actually properly labeling and tagging the videos, if you will, so we know whether they're going to be evidentiary value or not. So that's one mechanism that we have in place to make sure that we're being transparent and making sure that things are getting done the right way. But that's a very, very good question.
So, you know, sometimes I have a run-in with a police officer. I'm not breaking the law or doing anything, but I may not be in my best self. And could that be somehow ended up on YouTube?
Absolutely not. Again, there are very limited. You set the access levels on who can access these videos and to what can be given out. We have a very kind of a not really a strict policy, but on this instance is very strict, and to where only I, as the chief, can authorize the release of any video at any time to make sure that things like that don't happen. So, I mean, a lot of these are policy-driven questions, and you have to make sure that your policies are tight and they really take a look at these kinds of issues.
We're talking about police officers with video cameras being right into their uniform as they are on foot patrol, bike patrol, unit patrol across the city of San Antonio. It's a program that started this month. It's going to go for about 6 months. They've got 150 cameras out there now. We're talking with Police Chief Tony Farrar. He's with the Rialto Police Department over in California. Phone lines are open. If you've got a question or a comment, the number is 614-8980. Damon has called in. Damon, let's get you on the air. Damon, welcome to The Source. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you very much. I think it's a fascinating program and offers a lot of opportunities. And one of those questions I had was, is there any use of this material for training or quality review? Like if you're interviewing as an officer a potential sexual assault victim or a maltreatment case on techniques and tactics used to improve results?
Damien, that's a great question. Thanks for that. Tony?
Well, it's and again, I'm actually excited about the questions that you're getting. Yeah. First of all, for basic training use, we do have something in the policy, and we do roll call training a lot. And a lot of times with the officer's approval and depending upon what the evidentiary value of the video is, we will play that in a briefing setting to further train our officers on how to deal with folks. Or situations. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is that, yes, we have an actual full training program that when we bring somebody onto the department, and we do it yearly as well as an update, to where we train them on things exactly as the caller's talking about, on how to deal with whether it's a child abuse victim, a traffic collision, or walking through a hospital and dealing with HIPAA issues on when would be the best circumstances to use that video. Some of those circumstances are best not videotaped in the field. The only exception might be something like on a domestic violence case where the video is very helpful in capturing the emotional state of what's happening at a situation at that very time, and that's very good to have for prosecution. But again, another very good question.
I was watching, because doing research about sovereign citizens and the issue of the run-ins with police officer, saw a terrible videotape dash cam of two guys in West Memphis, Arkansas. They came out of their vehicle with automatic weapons and gunned down two police officers. And that dash cam video was instrumental in capturing and prosecution of those people. So I guess, you know, that this is another use for these cameras.
Yeah, and the one thing that that the body camera adds that the dash cam doesn't is that the dash cam, although it's a very good tool and very practical for its time, the technology has evolved so much now that the body cam allows it, you know, on the officer where when they leave the car and they're out of the view of the actual dash cam, you can pick up the audio and the video of things happening away from the vehicle. And that, again, is very important information that we need.
Let's get Stitch on the air. Stitch is called in. Welcome to The Source. Go ahead.
How's it going, guys? Hey, I think this is like one of the greatest ideas of all time because it not only protects the officer, it also protects the citizen as well due to if you have an officer who's coming in having a bad day and they decide to take it out on someone. I know that there's been instances like that as well, but I think it's a great tool because you're actually are these actually getting audio on them as well?
All right, thanks for your question, Stitch. So, Chief?
Well, yes, it's audio and video, and again, in the evening hours, it picks up just as good as it does in the daylight. And the caller, to kind of add to his comments, one of the tools, I mean, we're always looking for tools and training and things to really increase professionalism and public trust and just legitimacy in policing as a whole, and this is a fantastic mechanism that'll help accomplish all three. So I really appreciate the comments from your caller.
So you said in your one-year study that you saw a reduction of 60% of violent reports, or how did that work?
Use of force instances by officers.
And how do you think that came out? What caused that?
Well, I think it's the same thing. I think that a lot of times, you know, when you're taught in the academy to do certain things and to keep officer safety in mind And again, that's something that we always want to train on and keep in the back of our minds. But sometimes we might be a little quick to not use our head and our mouth as good as we could. And I think that when you're being watched a little bit, you tend to just, you know, use your professionalism a little bit better. You're more willing to engage in conversation and to try to tone down conflicts versus going hands-on right away. And one interesting comment or thing to consider in the study is that we did think about whether or not the officers might use less force because they're being, you know, videotaped or what have you, but that really wasn't the case. We know it's a business where we have to use force. It's an unfortunate part of the business, but we didn't have any injuries or any non-action from officers as a result of the cameras. So, I mean, this really is a win-win for all.
And the officers, they can't opt out. They have to do it. It's an order, right?
Yes. I mean, there are, you know, on graveyard in the middle of the night on a rainy night, I don't expect you to run your video and record absolutely nothing for, you know, because there's nothing of evidentiary value. But our policy is very explicit when it talks about capturing things that are of evidentiary value or of criminal nature. And
all right.
Yes, they have to activate them.
Police Chief Tony Farrar of the Rialto Police Department, thanks for joining us and explaining how this works and how it's worked in the past and the benefits of putting video cameras on police officers. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
And this is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.